everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. We're joining you live. We want you to call a friend and a neighbor and tell them to be sure to tune in. We'll be right back after the song, We Know He Is Yahweh. Hallelujah.
Let's go a little further, and I'll prove it to you. And Yahweh.
boy saw the light, that it was good, and he divided the light from the darkness. That's strange. Long before the sun and the moon was created. And Yahweh called the light day. Oh, now we've got, before even a day, we've got a creation factor going on. The light was day, a yom, day. And the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And Yahweh said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. Isn't that strange? Water from water. Dividing water from water. And Yahweh made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament and the waters which were above. Okay, there it goes. We got waters above and waters below. And so it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Still no moon and still no stars that we know of here, because they're not made until later. Let's read on. And Yahweh said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. It seems to me now that the earth, which was created, was without form. Now, can you get that? It was without form, verse 2, and it was void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And he said, here in the ninth verse, let the dry land appear. In a earth that was void, without form, void and without form. Verse 2. And verse 10. And Yahweh called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called the seas, and he saw that it was good. Verse 11. And Yahweh said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself. After his kind. And Yahweh saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Okay, now we've got 3 days here, and we ain't got no stars. We don't have any moon. And yet, there was light, and there was darkness. Now you figure that out. Was it somewhere else? Was the heavens and earth just a void form of the spirit realm in another dimension? Well, we'll see. And Yahweh said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Now, we got that dividing here in verse 4. Then he saw the light, it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Is this just a repeat? Or do we have a spiritual creation, void and without form, but there, by faith? And then we have what is called the creation of the stars and the moon and light and darkness in a physical realm. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that that's possibly the great mystery of what we're talking about here, is that Yahweh is trying to tell us something here in the first chapter. And yet many people are trying to start day one time time, you don't start time until there's a timepiece, which was introduced on the fourth day. Let's see if that's right. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, that be the stars, to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons. There was no season in day one. There was no signs in day two. There was no seasons or days of years in day three. And yet they think that, boy, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, see, they're lying. They're liars. Because they want to go with that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 time count on day 1. You hear them do that, but you come back here to Genesis and slow down and just read. And you know it's a lie. What does liars do? Well, they figure out a way to lie to you. They take everything in a natural understanding, having no spiritual discernment, that in the beginning the heaven and the earth was void and without form and darkness. No time in that relationship. Day four begins a system, and that would be day one before time. Now we're beginning to see where the lying prophets, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Saturday worshipers, are missing the boat. How they lie, how they deceive. They can't get around Genesis chapter 1. Yet they begin their count on day 1, way back when the earth was void and without form and darkness was upon the face of the deep, even before Yahweh brought any light. And the Bible said in the fifth verse, and Yahweh called the light after he created in verse 3. This light appeared, was it a natural sunlight? There was no sun. Well, we just believe what the Bible says. Glory to God. Just brush it off and go right on. These are they who profess themselves to be wise, but are really fools, because they can't see. In the darkness of their understanding, the foolish heart is darkened, professing themselves to be wise. Again, they become fools. And let them, verse 15, and here it is, he created two, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, and for days, and for years. Well, see, day didn't start until the fourth day. And these ignoramuses want to go back somewhere in eons, where the earth was void and without form in the first day, no light, all darkness. Waters had to be separated, things had to be done. How many eons did it take to do that? Time didn't really begin until the fourth day. And yet, they go back there and start their Saturday count and say, now, bless God, we know that thousands of years later, we still know which day was one and which day is seven. And that day is Saturday. Every Saturday, it's a seventh day. Glory to God. And foolish heart again darkened, just like it was in the first and second verse, where darkness was upon the face of the deep. Ladies and gentlemen, you better go back to the drawing board if you want to get this right and recognize the glory of the Creator. Now, I said, I don't want to get on the Sabbath, so I'll move on up here to where my message is tonight in the context. Verse 26, and Yahweh said, Let us. Let who? Was you around? Was he talking to you? I know what he's doing. He's talking to them Seventh-day Saturday keepers. That start their time back in Genesis verse 1 on the first day. They know exactly when it was, when it ended, when the next day started and it ended, and the third day started and ended. Now, they know exactly. They've got somebody back there at day one saying, all right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sabbath. Rest. And ladies and gentlemen, this is absolutely ludicrous. It's almost a joke on them. Professing themselves again to be one of Yahweh said, let us make man in our image. Let us. Now, who was that? Who was that that said, let us make man? And it came to pass, I'm going to drop over here to in chapter 6, lay you a little gestalt, a groundwork. And it came to pass that when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of Yah saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took unto them wives of all those which they chose. And Yahweh said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in those days. And verse 5, and Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. And he repented, Yahweh, that he had made man upon the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And Yahweh said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Now remember, there's a difference of a formed man and a created man. Man was created in Genesis 1:26, the beast of the field, along with the beast of the field. And yet there was not a man to till the ground of a formed Adam. Who is he going to destroy, Adam? I don't think so. That's his children. But he said, I'll destroy man and beast. Both man and beast. There it is. Both man and beast. Now, there were beasts that had hands. There was beasts that could talk. There was beasts that could raise them and pray. There were beasts that could put on sackcloth and ashes. And if you'd like to have the reference, you need to go over to Jonah chapter 3. Read the chapter. And the creeping things, and it repented him that I have made them. But Noah found grace in his sight. Now, Noah found grace in his sight. Now, Noah got the grace, and come, let us go down and see what these people are doing, he said. It's so strange that they were married and given in marriage, and they were doing just like it was in our day. They were marrying, race mixing, ladies and gentlemen. This is what it means. Not kind after kind, but kind mixing with other kind. That's against Yahweh's laws. Now, did he have help in the creation? Was Satan there? Well, I would think so. Was Gabriel there? I am he that standeth in the presence of Yah. You know what day he was created? Do you really know what day that Michael was created, the war angel, who fought against, eventually they began to war? See, this darkness and void, this time, was a space of time before man began, because man is a reintroduction. Adam is an introduction to replenish or to replace that which was destroyed. Now, do the scriptures directly address the question of these mighty ones? And the question is yes. They explicitly confirm the existence intelligent life from other places. Where's heaven? Is it here on earth? Is this where Yahweh dwells? Have you been to his house? Have you seen him riding around in his chariots? Have you seen the angels of Psalm 68, where it says his chariots are 20,000? Long do they believe it's a misprint that it may be closer to 200 million of them. We got a great host in the heavens. It's a vast expanse. And these wise ones who came down began to mate with the daughters of men, and they literally had children. And they lived here, and they worked here, and they taught, according to the book of Enoch, they taught the sons and the daughters, they taught them evil, corrupt practices. And as these offspring, the Nephilim, began to grow, they grew to an enormous height of 36 feet. And you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, I know that you flipped your lid and you're out of your mind. There's never been nobody 36 feet. You notice these men that are at 7 feet, you know, these basketball players. You ever notice how people worship them and look up to them? No pun intended there. But they really do. What if there was people on the earth that you could walk up to that was 36 feet tall, and you was like 5'4" or 4'8" or something like that? You wouldn't come up to his kneecap, hardly. I mean, it's amazing to think about this, but yet the book of Enoch says that they were 36 feet tall, and the graves confirm these ancients have been dug up. Ancient graves had to be back in the time of before the flood. You say, well, why? Because they existed before the flood. We know that in Genesis 6. The flood didn't come in till after Genesis 6, where he said, I repent myself that I've made these, and come and let us go down and see what the sons of men are doing. And when he come down, he saw these race-mixing genetic hybrids running around that he'd never created. They were alien to him. And in his anger, he said, this ain't going to, we can't permit this. It can't go on. Because Satan had said that he was going to exalt his seed above Yahweh. And he was going to sit on the mount of the congregation. Again, that's the holy days. And ladies and gentlemen, the holy days didn't begin until Genesis chapter 1 verse 14, which was the fourth day. We know that. There was no measurement. There was no measurement instruments like we used today. Our calendars use the sun and most the moon to determine time. The sun rules the day and the moon rules the night, and the stars rule in the universe. And a timepiece was hung in the heavens on day 4 of the Genesis episode. And yet, these wonderful, beautiful, knowledgeable, never-can-be-wrong people remember the first day that God declared it was day 1, and they counted, and they came up with Saturday. If you believe that, I've got oceanfront property for you. These idiots, I mean, they're just pure, unadulterated idiots. I mean, they common sense ain't even bred into them. They're unadulterated in this sense that they're idiots. Have to be. The Bible is so far against them, they don't even know it. And yet they say, well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and God rested. Correct. But on on the eighth day, he went back to work. Now, that don't fit in their calendar, does it? Well, you show me an eighth day in the Bible. Well, I can show you plenty of them, partner. Just all you got to do is call 423-626-2172. And I can fill your year with a lot of eighth-day events in the Bible. It was a holy, solemn day. Everything that was offered to Yahweh was always on the eighth day, not the seventh day. Adam being an eighth-day man, we get again to the book of Genesis, where Noah, the ark rests on the first day of the first month, the ark lands. That's a new moon. That's got nothing to do with, because I was counting, I was standing back there. These Seventh-day Adventists will make you think that they were standing back there in day one, and they know exactly when day seven comes because it's Saturday, because the Gregorian calendar tells them so. They're basing their life upon a false, corrupt, evil, man-made calendar that was invented out of the mind of these evil men who think to change times and laws, and they did it well. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't even know how I got on this subject, because it's involved in my presentation here, but I just want to teach on this, because I don't know why all of a sudden that I want to straighten the record out here of these idiots that get on the radio. I listen to them sometimes. And oh my heavens above, how they butcher up the scriptures. They cut out what they don't want to hear and add what that's not in there to make it sound like they want it to sound or to fit their time span. Isn't that just like the fallen angels? When they come down to corrupt, to invent, to cast the truth to the ground and prosper. My heavens above, how far back? And if you don't keep your Sabbath by the moon, you're not keeping the true Sabbath, ladies and gentlemen. There is no other explanation. And all you people that say that you don't have to keep Sabbath, that you are the Sabbath. Do you keep the first commandment? Well, yeah, I'll keep that one. You keep the second one? Yeah, I'll keep that one. You keep the third one? Uh-huh. But the fourth one now he threw that one out. That's one of the only commandment, according to the book of Ezekiel, which we're going to go there. Eventually, I'm going to try to get there if I can get this Sabbath behind me here, out of my spirit here. The book of Ezekiel said, it shall be a sign. 20th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, the 12th verse, it shall be a sign between me and you if you keep my Sabbaths. Now, the same prophet Ezekiel said, and here's what he said, I saw the gates in the city, and Yahweh give me the formula for the correct day for them gates to be open. Now, believe it or not, those gates were only open on a new moon.
Yeah, but we don't keep that. I don't have a thing to do with it anymore, Pastor Buddy.
Glory to God. We don't go for that old new moon now. That old moon, I just wish that God would take it down out of the sky and so you moon people could shut up. Ladies and gentlemen, if he took the moon out of the sky, nothing would grow. scorched with intense heat. I said the perfection of Yahweh's ways was so beautiful. If you take the moon out, your tides, your controls of the water, the gravity, the pull, the encounter of the phases would no longer be instrumental in setting the correct astrological balance between the two great lights that Yahweh ordained, and you try to take it out. Shame on you. The book of Ezekiel gives us a little detail about Ezekiel's life. He's mentioned only twice by name in the book that bears his name. Ezekiel chapter 1 and 3 and Ezekiel 24:24. He writes that he was a preacher, the son of Buzi. He was of the Israelite exiles who settled in Tel Aviv on the banks of the Chebar in the land of the Chaldeans. He was most likely taken captive with King Jeconiah, which is mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 2. And in 2 Kings 24:14 through 16, and it was approximately in the year 597 B.C. These exiles repeatedly came to visit him and to obtain a divine word from Yahweh. It's recorded in Ezekiel 8:14 and verse 20. However, Ezekiel exerted no permanent influence upon them. And it's not I-E-L, ladies and gentlemen, that is the last three letters of Ezekiah. It's Ezekiah. The I is a substitute for the Hebrew Y. I wonder why they would do like that. Because I don't want you to know that all the prophets that prophesied correctly had that name, Isaiah, when Isaiah word, or Ezekiel word. Ladies and gentlemen, how foolish can preachers become, having their foolish heart darkened, professing themselves to be wise? It's time that we got back to the old path. Now, we know that Ezekiel's wife died in the ninth year of his exile by some sudden and for unforeseen stroke. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 1 and 24, 18. The time and manner of his own death is unknown. Today, his tomb is reputed to be located in the neighborhood of Hela, or ancient Babylon, at a place called Al-Kuriyah. Ezekiel's prophecies are more frequently dated than those of other prophets. The first date of his book takes the reader to the summer of 593 B.C., and 5 years after the first group of exiles was deported to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. The latest date of oracles that comes 22 years after that summer, in April of 571 B.C., it can be dated based on the links that it records between the rule of King Jehoiakim, king of Jerusalem, and other events that the book describes according to the system. The prophecies were originally written in 22 years between 593 and 571 B.C. Now, what I'd like to deal with in the first prophecy of Ezekiel, it's a prophecy that is going to actually confirm that Yahweh had help in the beginning when he said, "Let us." The word Merkabah means chariot. Remember I told you in Psalm 68, verse 11, that Yahweh's chariots are plenty? Merkabah. Derived from the consonantal root of RKB with general meaning, which is to ride. 20 refers to the throne chariot of Yahweh, the four-wheeled vehicle driven by four living creatures, as he described it, motors, each of which had four wings and the four faces of a man, an ox, a lion, and an eagle. Now, these are supposed to represent the four books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Merkabah is used 44 times in the Old Testament, but is not used in Ezekiel 1. Then in verse 4, several movements in the movement and in the period, the destruction of the second temple in 70 A.D., later, those of the Kabbalah have focused on these passages from Ezekiel, seeking to underline the meaning and the secrets of creation and the metaphorical language due, because we find that Ezekiel saw this chariot and was astounded, and he even rode in the chariot far above Jerusalem, and he was told certain things about these vehicles, and it's recorded, and a scientist at NASA, ladies and gentlemen, a scientist at NASA, he developed by the description that Ezekiel gave, he was able to arrive at a conclusion that it was a spacecraft. Now, ladies and gentlemen, isn't it strange that this vision of Ezekiel chapter 1, it begins with equals Ezekiel's record of his vision of Yahweh's spectacular chariot. In his vision, Yahweh approaches Ezekiel as a divine warrior, riding in his battle chariot. The chariot appeared to be drawn by four living creatures, each having four faces. As Ezekiel explains it, he was describing, according to the NASA official, who recreated the vision of Ezekiel and drew it out exactly, that it had four rockets mounted, and Ezekiel called them living creatures because the vehicle moved. He'd never seen nothing like this. And it was his way of crudely explaining what had existed before that Ezekiel was ever born. Now, why? Why is it that light and time keeping and navigation, Scripture tells us that the sun, the moon, and the stars gave light, beginning, and brightness only on the fourth day. But there was light existing and darkness prior to, in verse 3 of the Bible of Genesis, on day 1. From a far away galaxy, ladies and gentlemen, in a land called in the Bible as Halya, Yahweh came with his chariots riding through the heavens, and he dropped off a man called Adam. This was long after Genesis 1:26. In day 6, this is a seventh day man, where Yahweh not only rested, but he went back to work on the first of that day, which was the eighth day, and Adam is created in the eighth day. And ladies and gentlemen, if you use a lunar cycle, a calendar, like we produce and believe in, through the natural functioning of the stars and the moon, and the sun in relationship to time. This is why the angels of children of darkness came, the children of darkness, the same children that existed between day 1 and day 6. These are the people that are children of darkness. Adam is the son of light of the eighth day. It's a new beginning. And every eighth day, according to the lunar calendar that we produce, is an eighth day Sabbath. Take heed, lest any of you have an unbelieving heart and fail to enter in to his rest. It's a perpetual rest. In me you shall have rest. Fail not to enter into my rest. Those who love to stay within the six-day creation are dwelling in darkness and combinations of light. They're in and out of a spiritual alignment. They're in a physical realm where in the eighth day there was a man that was born and created to live forever. I repeat that. The eighth day Adam is an eternal being. That means that he don't have no beginning and he don't have no ending. He was not a creation. He was in that other realm beyond Genesis 1 and 1 and 1 and 2 and 1 and 3. He existed before that. Now we know that the angels are a creation. We know that Satan is a creation. The day that Yahweh created him, there was iniquity found in him. He had a flaw. The six-day creation here has a flaw. The eighth-day man had no flaw until Satan crossed the dividing line of spirit application to flesh realm, and there he deceived the weaker offspring of Adam. Adam did not sin and was not in the transgression. Paul's writing. Praise Yahweh. This eighth-day Adam. In the creation, and the creation factor, ladies and gentlemen, you need to wrap your thoughts around what Pastor Buddy is giving you tonight. I'm boring into some deep understanding of spiritual minds. I'm trying to hit the living water as Adam was a living being that existed far beyond Genesis 1, brought down here and given a veiled flesh mineral body to subdue this earth and bring it into divine obedience to the will of Yahweh through the disobedience of the fallen state long before Adam got here. Adam is a son of Yahweh. He has no beginning and he has no end. The Messiah said it very well when he said, I am from above. If a man believes in me, he shall never perish, and neither shall he die. Now, I know death came. I know the flesh man, the physical man, he parts, and he dies. That's a foregone conclusion, ladies and gentlemen. But did you know that he was made to live forever? For eons, that this physical body that you have right now, if you are Adam's seed, now not all Israel is Israel, but all Israel that is Israel is going to be saved and redeemed because they are eternal beings and they shall never perish. Oh my, man, I feel the anointing here tonight of the accounts that Yahweh has given us of his word to furthermore look, because the Bible said the heavens is the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. Thou didst make him to rule over the works of your hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Psalms chapter 8 verses 3 through 6. Oh, man, I love that. Let me read that again. it grabs me. The heavens is the work of your fingers. The moon and the stars which you have ordained, you made them, and you made him. Adam, not man, but Adam, to rule of the eighth-day man, not the sixth-day man, the eighth-day man, to rule over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet, and he blessed Adam and said, be fruitful and multiply. On the eighth day. He didn't say that to the sixth-day man. He only said it to the eighth-day man. And it's a fact, ladies and gentlemen, he rested after the seventh day. 1, 2, 3. No stars and no moon. No time frequencies. No introduction of the Gregorian calendar at that time. Not one Seventh-day Adventist was standing back there at day one. But they believe that since the Bible has got a seven-day rotation, and that's exactly what it's got. It's got 6 days to work and a new moon. That's the rotation. And the eighth day is the Sabbath. It's quite simple, but the simple-minded, those who profess themselves to be wise, has got all this figured out in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 is the greatest revelating chapter in the whole Bible to explain to you the creation. Light, timekeeping, and navigation. The sun and the moon and the stars to give light. For signs and for seasons and for days. There was no signs and there was no season and there was no days for man until the sun and the moon was created. And you can't argue with that, because if you'd like to debate this, we'll go back and we'll read Genesis chapter 1. And we won't get out of the Bible. It'll prove. The heavens are telling the glory of Yahweh, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. The vastness of the universe is a tremendous expression of Yahweh's might and power. He is greater than you could ever imagine. Even greater than his spectacular creation, the universe that I just read you in Psalms 8, 1 through 3 and 9. O Yahweh, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have displayed your splendor above the heavens. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, O Yahweh, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you're not alone. The Nephilim, the offspring of the sons, the angels, the fallen ones, the created beings. You know why that they had such a perfect match with the Genesis 1:26 crowd? They were created. Now, who's greater? The Creator or the created? Who has no beginning and no end? Well, Adam had it before he came here. He lost his right to live in this flesh body that Yahweh made for him. But Yahweh gave him an eternal promise. He said, I'll give you eternal life. That's an eternal being. Grasp, wrap your hands around that. And draw it into your bosom and let the heartbeat of eternity, 120 years. You remember I told you when I started this series that one day was 2,592,000 years? Don't you remember? That in Yahweh, that one day could be 1,000 years. Don't fall for these these Seventh-day Adventist lies that they say, well, now, these moon people have got it all wrong. Glory to God. He rested on the seventh day, and that's where we rest, and it was on a Saturday. That is nonsense. Day one, day two, day three, and day four, before that there was a regulation time system placed in the earth. It's a tremendous expression of the vastness of the universe. How majestic is your name, O Yahweh, for you are high above all of the other gods that call themselves God, and every thought and every thing, imagination, puffed up by the carnal mind, in which professing themselves to be wise, they have become fools from such turn away. Ladies and gentlemen, if you can't do the Genesis 1 without messing up, then you don't have any right to even know when the time element begin. You wise that conceited in your own mind, you're holding God right verbatim to his word without any spiritual interpretation of day one, day two, and day three when there wasn't a sun and a moon, and you start time in day one. How foolish can you be? You better read the rest of the story. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got to get out of here. My time has slipped out of here so quickly tonight. But I love you, and I appreciate you. Because Yahweh is a strong tower, and the Bible says exactly that he opens his arms, and the righteous run into it, and they're safe. Oh, praise Yahweh. They're safe for a reason, ladies and gentlemen, because Yahweh, the author and the finisher of our faith, he is the great I Am, ladies and gentlemen, and you know the great I Am is Yahweh. Now, let me give you quickly my sponsor, Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439, and Brother Paul, 1-800-253-2748. If you'd like to write me tonight and have this series, we're concluding tonight a four-part series that we've done on the creation. If you'd like to have it, call me at area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to write me, just drop me a line. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip, 37824. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to magnify him tonight, and I love you around the world. I'll see you Friday night, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. Many blessings down the road to you. Yahweh bless you in the creation.